Rich Kimble here with you, and Bruce Pratt here for Sports Lit 101, and special occasion this week because we've got not one but two very talented guests joining us. Up first, a great friend of the show. She's been on a number of times with us, the author of several books, including the brilliant Home Ice Reflections of a Reluctant Hockey Mom, Angie Abdu, back with us. Angie, welcome. Good to have you back again.
Hi, thanks so much for inviting me again.
And also joining us, the author of an incredibly interesting and powerful book. You know him from his sons. Why not? He's had three sons drafted by the National Hockey League. His book is called How We Did It, The Subban Plan for Success in Hockey, School, and Life. He wrote it along with Scott Colby. Carl Subban joins us. Carl, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I don't know where to begin, so I'm going to throw it to Bruce because he'll know how best to balance all of this.
Well, what I really enjoyed, I was looking back over your book today, Angie, because it's been a while since I read it, is how the two of you really identify so many of the issues that we think about when we think about youth sports and how do we raise our kids and what do we trust with the coaches and this and that. You come from very different places and very different backgrounds. But I think there's something that knits you together, and I want to ask you both this. Carl, you loved cricket growing up. You made your own cricket bat. You had a dad who played it. Angie, you're a hell of a swimmer. You're a coach. You've competed very high level. Your brother is a summer Olympian. So you grew up in the Canadian system, if you will. How much, Carl, being a cricket fan, it was part of your ability to become, as they often say, Canadian by becoming a hockey fan?
Well, you know, sport defined me while I was growing up in Jamaica. If you were to ask me at 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years of age, what was the one thing I was good at? I'm going to say it was sports. It was catching the ball, hitting the ball. And when I came to Canada, boy, did it ever help me to transition into this new society.
There's a sense, and Angie, you and I have spoken about this, it goes all the way back to Scott Young's Bill Spunska books, that for immigrants, they come to Canada and they become Canadian when they become a hockey player or they love hockey or whatever, right? It's been sort of that kind of myth. Now, you who have grown up in Canada know the importance it plays, but don't you think that myth and that mythology have changed drastically in the last 20 or so years?
That people are starting to question it, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, it depends where you look, though, right? Like, I think in academic literature, there's a lot of scholars doing important work troubling some of the long-held practices in youth sport and some of the pressures on young athletes and some of the, you know, deciding by the kids' time the kids are 9 whether or not they're good and pushing them into tiering. And, you know, academics are challenging a lot of this, but I don't know that it filters down to the grassroots level in hockey programs. I think you still have the same parents really focused on their kids getting to the NHL and pushing really hard really young and some of the same really aggressive coaches. So it depends where you look whether or not it has changed.
Well, I know, Carl, you had to make – and PK had to make a decision that was really sort of remarkable to move from one team to another team in Mississauga. Angie, you paid a heavy price for being honest about the abuse, the abusive nature, and I don't want to overstate that, but of sort of toxic coaching in youth sports. Carl, can you tell us a little bit about what was really in your mind when you have this very talented young son? It's not a good situation where he is, and you move to a new one.
Yeah, you know, as whether your child is in piano or swimming or playing hockey, you know, we want them to always to feel good about themselves and to feel good about that the space they're in. And when they don't feel so great about the space they're in, it affects the parents. And I know, growing up in hockey, we have the 24-hour rule. if something is on your mind, you know, let it stay there for 24 hours. But I remember that one time, you know, it's in raising our five children. I'm not doing it solo. I have Marie, and there's PK's feelings influencing the decision. So I made that a decision to take him off the ice when I couldn't deal with that feeling anymore. And I, you know, here's the funny thing. I regretted it. It gave me all the wrong attention. It wasn't the attention that I was seeking. But if you were to ask Maria, my wife Maria, or PK today, if I made the right decision, they're going to say, yes, Carl made the right decision. But you know what? I would say this to any parent who is in a situation. Obviously, if you feel your kid is not safe, whether emotionally or physically, obviously there are things that you can do. But looking back, I personally did not like the way I dealt with it.
Carl, I have to ask you, you mentioned your wife, and in thinking about parenting, I was struck by something PK said in the book, that there was a good cop, bad cop dynamic in the parenting, but he never knew who it would be, that sometimes mom would be the tough guy, and sometimes you would be the tough guy. Was that a strategy on your parts?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You know, parents, we play so many roles, and but, you know, Maria was a voice of reason. And, you know, I really was the hockey dad. I'm still a hockey dad. And, you know, I remember what Maria said to me one time. And that's why it really takes a team to support our young people to reach their destinations. I remember what she said to me one time, and I've never forgotten it. And I think I became a better hockey dad because of it. She said, Carl, the dad that the boys need the most, or that they need the most, is Carl the dad, not Carl the hockey dad. So you know, yeah. So Maria, she was also a voice of reason and control, and it took both of us working together to overcome some of the challenges that we were facing, especially to make sure our young people, our boys, continued on the path that they were on.
Now, Angie, you had a situation, and I had a little bit of this in my life where I had one child that was into one sport and one that was into another. My younger son was into ski racing, and you know, because you live in Fernie, what that requires on a regular basis. And my other son was playing basketball. That there, it's that terrible feeling that parents get caught in all the time is, if I got a kid that can make the travel team, I have to invest all my effort in that. And you ask Ollie time and time again whether he wanted to continue to play hockey. You were diligent in that way, but you had to be part of that world for a while. What are the positives you can take out of that? And I mean, I know what the negatives are, but I want you to talk about those too. But what from that experience between you and Ollie, what was the most positive thing in the end?
That's a great question, because there is a tendency to focus on the negative in these conversations, and then I forget to mention that I love sport. I love it so much, and there are so many great life lessons to be learned in sport, and I'm experiencing that all over again right now as a swim coach with both of my kids on the team. And when I think back to those years of hockey and what I learned, I mean, I could very easily tell you what I learned just this weekend coaching my kids at a swim meet in Lethbridge, and there's dozens of lessons. But thinking back to that time, I mean, Ollie and I are incredibly close because we drove all over to all those tournaments together, spent all those weekends in hotel rooms, and, you know, I was there when he lost a game, and I was there when he won a game, and I was there when he was arguing with his teammates, or when I was there for all of it. So we have this huge shared experience that is so full of energy and big emotions and great life lessons, and, I mean, I wouldn't give that back for anything. That was wonderful. And I'm there to help them. Like, what do you do when things don't go your way, but you still have four games left that weekend? And what do you do when you're mad because the coach isn't playing and one of your teammates made fun of the way your shot is or something, but you have to, you know, participate with these people for the rest of the weekend? And so all those are life lessons about resiliency and about getting along with people and about finding strength in uncomfortable positions. And, I mean, it's made him who he is. But, yeah, most of all, we're so close because of sharing those experiences.
We're talking with Angie Abdu and Carl Subban here on Downtown. Carl, I'm curious, being an educator, did that make you a different type of hockey dad?
It helped because I had to behave myself in the arenas because I'm called the principal, you know what I mean? But one thing I wanted to add to that question you asked to Angie, you know, and I learned a very important lesson, and that I had to learn when to get out of their way, when to get out of the coach's way, when to get out of my son's way. Because sometimes what I was doing, I was in the way of them progressing. And if I didn't learn, I really don't believe that they would have progressed as far as they did.
Well, I would also ask that question from the other direction. Rich is an educator. You know, I am as well. What do you find that you, for your involvement in sports, helps you be a better teacher, a better administrator? Carl, you were in some pretty rough neighborhoods in Toronto. Angie, you have to do a lot of stuff online, which is not an easy way to teach. What things from sports did you take that helped you be successful in those realms? Let's start with Angie, and then we'll ask Carl.
That you take the athlete or the student where they're at, right? There's no sense trying to get them. You have to start where they're at and give them how to get to the next level. You don't suddenly say, why don't you go from a 26.50 free if there's something a 38.50 free? You're like, how do I get them to 37.5? And then how do I get, you know, how do I keep getting a little bit faster at a time? And it's like that with students. I don't take essay submitted and start giving them advice as if they're going to publish when really they're just trying to figure out how to be coherent. So meet them where they're at and just nudge them forward gently with a lot of positive feedback about what they're doing well, and treat each person like a person, right? Like, I really have noticed that coaching swimming this year, every single athlete on the team is different. They have different challenges, whether it's anxiety or lack of confidence or a difficulty focusing, and they have different reasons for being there, whether it's for the friends or because they have really lofty goals or because they know they need to exercise. And so to meet them where they're at and who they are and coach every single athlete differently, and I've learned through sport to do that with my students as well.
And Carl, what would you say to that?
Well, you know, the one thing I sort of see in both arenas, the hockey arena, the school arena, is that, you know, I see potential in the classroom and I see a lot of potential in the ice. That's the first thing. And then the other piece is, you know, a young child learning to skate. We know that you just don't put your skate on, go on the ice, and you're skating like an NHLer or figure skating like an Olympian. It takes time. You know, even teaching my sons and daughters too how to skate, it took time. And there is this period of fear and where they're very anxious. And it's the same thing in school. Whether it's math, you're teaching math, or it's you're teaching them reading or writing, it takes time. And so I know that I did not learn to skate overnight. Well, I'm still learning to skate. But PK Subban did not become an NHL skater overnight. He became one over time. And so in school, I mean, I use these stories, these lessons, to help my educators, to help all the staff in my school in terms of working with young people, just reminding them that they do have potential. And when we see them through that lens, we're telling them they can learn and grow and develop. And no one becomes really good at something overnight. It's over time. And so those are some of the lessons I took from the hockey rink to the classroom.
The four T's, right? Can you?
I thought of something. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead, Angie.
I thought of something else that is sort of like Carl's 24-hour rule, but from the perspective of the athlete and the student, is that in any case where things haven't gone as they like, they need to work through the emotions first and then deal with next steps. So if swimmers come back to me after a race and they're upset about how it went and they're crying, I realize you have to tell them, like, go have your cry and then come back and talk about what went right, what went wrong, and what we do next time. And it's the same when I hand back an essay to students. If they don't like what happened, I say, just sit with the comments for a little while, work through your emotions, and when you're feeling less emotional, come back and talk to me, and I will clarify any points you want, and we can talk about how to do better next time. And again, that's something that crosses from athletics to academics.
Absolutely.
A little bit of time is a good thing, a useful thing when emotions are involved.
Carl, you mentioned time. That's one of your four T's. Can you talk about the other three?
Yes, you know, whether you want to be a better hockey player or a better student, and hopefully whatever sport you love, and we want all of our young people to do their best in school and to be their best. I find that we need to give them tools. And one set of tools I've given them, I call it the four T's. Time, task, training, and team. You make time to do your school tasks. You make time to do your hockey tasks, like skating and stick handling and shooting pucks and so on. And in school, the tasks are your assignment. Right? So you make time to do your task. The third T is training. No one gets better overnight. I was talking about that earlier, that it takes practice, you know. And the fourth T is team. It becomes very difficult to fulfill your potential if you're not working to be a better person or to be the best person that you can be. It becomes very challenging for me to be the best principal that I'm capable of being if the students don't want to work with me, if my staff don't want to work with me, and if my parents don't want to work with me. And so I love the four T's. Whether you want to shine in the hockey arena, and you should also want to shine in the classroom, please bring the four T to your focus and give it your attention, and don't leave home without it.
I really have enjoyed talking to you. I want one quick question by both of you, and I hope I can see you both in Victoria. I hope, Angie, you can convince Carly she should become a member of the Sports Literature Association.
Mm-hmm.
When you look,
that would be great.
When you look at the future of youth sports, are you more optimistic on the Canadian model or less optimistic?
I feel like things are improving. I think there's a really great emphasis on multi-sport. The kids should do a variety of sports until they get older and put off specializing as long as they can. And I think the message has really gotten out about the value of learning all the kind of different athleticisms, whether it's throwing or catching or tumbling or, you know, strength, balance, rather than just trying to get really good at one sport. And I think that message is getting out there. And I think coaches will now, there's a really vigorous training program that all coaches have to go through before they're even allowed to work with children. So they're aware of safe sport and ethical sport and the multi-sport model. So I am optimistic, yes.
How about you, Carl?
Yeah, I'm very, very optimistic. You know, Angie mentioned a number of things there, which I agree with wholeheartedly. We know what sports means to young people. Today, we're spending so much time focusing on their well-being. Well, sports is one way to help to address that. The safety of sports. You know what? We've learned so much more how to coach our children, how to teach them, how to parent in them. And that education is not going to stop. And it's there. I'm here working in the GTHL, the largest minor hockey league in the world. And you know, you could see the in-service on all the things that the league is doing to educate the coaches, to educate all the hockey staff, and also to educate the players and the parents. So I'm very, very optimistic. I can't imagine living in a world when there are young people don't have the opportunity to play sports.
Well, this has been great talking to the both of you. I've gone through the safe sport training. I agree with you. It's a very important thing. I hope we can talk to each of you again sometime because there's more to talk about. But thanks so much for joining us today, and best of luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bruce. Good to hear your voice, Carl.
Nice to hear from you too, my good friend.
All righty. We will see you too soon.
Carl Subban, Angie Abdu with us here on Sports Lit 101.